والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات And when we took the covenant of Bani Israel not to worship anyone else other than Allah and to have good and nice and beautiful behavior towards the parents. Our religion, the religion of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, is proud to have the richest of the treasures in every aspect of knowledge. And one of those aspects in which our religion is the most rich is the aspect of dua and supplication. And fortunately, one of those treasures that we have is the precious Sahifatul Sajjadiyya, which is a blessing of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. But it reached through the special inayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman Baqiyatullah al-A'zam Ajjal Allah Ta'ala Farajah al-Sharif wa salamullahi alayhi in our hands. The Sahifatul Sajjadiyya that we have right now with us, the book comprising several beautiful, priceless du'as of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, is a gift which reached our hands through the blessing of Imam Sahib al-Zaman. Because we find that Mullah Muhammad Taqi al-Majlisi, who is famously known to scholars as al-Majlisi al-Awwal, not Mullah Muhammad Baqir al-Majlisi. Mullah Muhammad Taqi al-Majlisi, one of our great scholars, once had a tasharruf towards Imam Sahib al-Zaman in his dream. And in that dream, when he met the Imam, he demanded the Imam that since it's hard to meet with you every time I wish to meet, so kindly bestow me with something with which I can acquire ins and acquaintance. I can become familiar with that in those times when I'm unable to meet you. And Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam gave this Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya to him, and Mullah Muhammad Taqi al-Majlisi says that when I woke up from the dream, I went straight to the famous library Al-Maktabat al-Ghadiriyya in Isfahan, and I found the same book which was given to me in the dream sitting there, and I found the book and I copied the book from the library and took it to my teacher Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahauddin al-Amili, who is famously known as Sheikh Baha'i rahmatullah alayhi, one of our great marathi from Lebanon, although he used to live in Isfahan in those days. Sheikh Baha'i was the teacher and ustad of Mullah Muhammad Taqi al-Majlisi, and he brought the Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya before Sheikh Baha'i, and Sheikh Baha'i, in order to certify and verify, and Sheikh Baha'i verified those du'as which are mentioned there, and that is how Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya was first published in our history, and it reached our hands. This Sahifa, as it is termed by the scholars, as Ukhtul Qur'an, the sister of the Holy Quran, like they call Nahj al-Balagha as Akhul Quran, the brother of Quran, because the contents of this Sahifa, like the contents of Nahj al-Balagha, are so high in their position, and there's every reason for that to be high, because a statement of anybody depends on the speaker and the audience, apart from his personal knowledge. And the speaker of this Sahifa is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, who has the divine knowledge and ilm al-ghayb, and the one who is addressed, the audience of this Sahifa, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the saying, whenever a sensible person addresses, he takes into consideration the mental level of his audience. Like the Holy Prophet has said in his hadith, إِنَّ مَعَاشَرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أُمِرْنَا أَن نُكَلِّمَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. We, the group of Anbiya, prophets, are commanded to talk to the people according to their mental level. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is talking to Allah. So we can realize that how high the contents of this kalam would be. When the speaker is so high and the audience is the most high. So that was a short history of this great Sahifa which we have in our hands. It is full of great ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And one of those ma'arif is that we find Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is mentioning the huquq of walidain in his sahifa. In the middle of his du'as, he is mentioning what we are supposed to do towards our parents, which is an eye-opener for all of us. And we find that in lots of du'as, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam starts his du'a with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad alayhi salam, which is there in the riwayat. Salawat, you know, is a du'a mustajab. It's a du'a which is always accepted by Allah. And it's among the adab of du'a that the riwayat says, when you want to do the du'a, first say the salawat in the beginning and at the end also say the salawat. In the middle mention your du'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is akram, is more generous and more kareem to accept the beginning part and the end part of your dua but reject the middle part of it. So whenever we pray, we should not forget to say salawat at the beginning and at the end as much as we can. These are among the adab of dua. Dua is not my speech, not the subject of my speech. It's itself a very detailed subject in Islam. But dua itself is mustahab and one of the great ibadat of Islam, regardless of the fact it is accepted or rejected, apparently. In all the cases it is mustahab, even though you find your dua is rejected due to some reasons, still, it is mustahab in Islam to keep on doing dua. It has sawab. So, in Sahifa, we find that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is saying the salawat in the beginning at the end, in the beginning of the dua, and Allahumma, he says that, O my Lord, send your salawat ala abdika wa rasulika wa ahl baytihi at-tahirin afdala salawatika wa rahmatika wa salamika. Send your best of your salawat and salam and rahmat, mercy and barakat on the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. And then he comes to the point that waqsus Allahumma walidayya bil karamati labayk was salati minka ya arhamar rahimin. Oh, the most merciful, give the best of your honor and karamat and dignity to my parents before you. My parents should enjoy the best of the honor and dignity in your eyes. And he mentions that he moves forward in his dua, which inshallah I'll let you know some other, there are lots of adab which we might not be able to cover all of them in these speeches, but some of the very important ones I will try to mention. And Imam says, Al-Himni ma yajibu lahuma alayya ilhaman. O my Lord, send your ilham on me about those things that are wajib on my neck towards my parents. Inform me with your ilham about my obligations towards my parents. And not just inform me, ثُمَّ اسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِمَا تُلْهِمُنِي. Use me to act on what you teach me with your ilham. That means I must act, not just I just listen to it and forget the duties towards the parents. As you teach me my duties towards the parents, make me act over those duties. As he mentions these duties, after that he says that all these ahkam, all these duties that we have towards the parents, lots of duties, and in other words, it's hard to act on all those points until a person receives the divine help to act on all those duties. So if we want to perform these duties, we require the divine help. We require help from Allah to perform all of them. We have a hadith from narrated by Abi Walad al-Hannaq from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Where he says that I asked the Imam about the meaning of the verse وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. We must have ihsan, nice behavior, good behavior, dutiful behavior towards the parents. What's the meaning of that? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that you must have nice behavior towards your walidain. And do infaq, help them, give money, donate to them. Do infaq, help them financially. Do help your parents, although they may not be poor, although they may be rich, they have money, but you must help them. You must do infaq towards the parents. Spend your money for their sake. Unfortunately, we find lots of children, lots of sons and daughters who have money, and their parents are poor, but they are still not ready to help them. The Imam says that you have to do infaq towards your parents, although they are not poor, they may be having money. And then he said, don't you pay attention to the verse of Holy Quran where Allah says, Imam Sadiq said to him, don't you pay attention to the verse of Holy Quran where Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You would never reach the position of birr. You would never be counted as a good doer, in other words, by Allah, until you give away, you spend your money, you give away things, those things which are beloved to you. You give the beloved thing of yours to others. Not just when we come up to donate something, we always bring the second-hand or the used items and come and donate it to the Islamic Center or to poor people or to orphans, those things which are already used by us. That's against the adab of infaq. Those things which we don't like for ourselves. Those things that if somebody else donates to us, we will feel bad about it. That's not good. That's not good act. That's not considered to be a good act in the eyes of Allah. Because the bir, the good act, is that the ayat says that you do the infaq from the beloved things of yours, what you like most. In other words, and the first infaq which has to be done is towards the parents, and then comes the turn of Zawil Qurba, your close relatives. We find people who are donating money to the Islamic causes, for the Islamic centers, to poor people, to madaris, to masajid, to different Islamic causes, but they are not taking care of their parents. Unfortunately, the infaq at Islam starts with your parents. The first level of infaq which Imam Sadiq al-Salam is mentioning to him is that you do the infaq towards your parents. And second is the level of your close relatives. We find the hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam saying that la sadaqata wa zu rahimin muhtaj. If you have one of your close relatives who is muhtaj, he needs your help, and you start giving sadaqa to other people without taking care of your own relatives, Prophet says this sadaqah that you are giving is not considered to be a sadaqah. This is no sadaqah. Because you are neglecting your duty. Your first duty is to help your parents, and then comes the turn of your relatives, Zawil Arham. Neglecting your parents and neglecting your Zawil Arham and helping others is not at all considered to be, that's no donation, no sadaqah in the eyes of Prophet. Prophet said, la sadaqata wa zu rahimin muhtaj. And in fact, somebody asked the Prophet that, ayyus sadaqat afzal, which is the most superior of all the sadaqat? And Prophet said, ala zi rahimin kashih, giving a sadaqah to that relative of yours who has hatred in his heart towards you. Giving sadaqah to such a relative who has hatred in his heart towards you is the most superior of all the sadaqat. This is Islam. It's hard. And breaking away qati'atul rahim is considered to be the biggest sins in Islam. So, I was telling you that the sadaqah and infaq starts from the parents, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned that, and then he started mentioning the ayat of the Holy Quran to Abi Wallad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, he says, Imma yablughanna innaka al-kibara ahaduhuma aw kilahuma. If fala takul lahuma uffin wa la tanharhuma wa qul lahuma wa waqfid lahuma jinaha al-dhill min al-rahma. Rahmah. And if one of your parents or both of them reach the elderly age in your lifetime, let's suppose you find that your father or your mother or both of them become old in your lifetime. Quran says that فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't say the word if to them. Don't even say the word if, because this is also considered as an insult to the parents. And according to the fatwa of all the scholars, even saying a word of distress like, oh, why did you say it to me, or I don't have time, or any word which expresses you being tired up or fed up of them, or frustrated, or you are distressed, or you are not feeling good about they're asking some help from you, any expression that expresses your distress is haram in Islam. It's not allowed. The Quran clearly says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. And we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there was a shorter word than if, Allah would have mentioned that word in the place of if in this ayat. But since there isn't any shorter word in Arabic language, shorter than if, which has only two letters, Allah mentioned this word. So in fact, what is the theme is that say nothing. Say nothing that expresses your distress. That's the real meaning. Do not express your distress before your parents. If they ask you to do something, never express a word. If they are, let's suppose they are asking you to bring something for them, or they are sick and you are fed up of their long age and their sickness and illness, never express a word that shows that you are fed up of their sickness or illness, because it is haram in Islam. And we find that وَقْفِرْ لَهُمَا جِنَاحَ الظِّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. It's a beautiful statement from Quran. In Arabic, jinah, literally it means the wing. And خَفْضِ الْجِنَاحَانِ, like we refer literally in Arabic, when, you know, have you seen a pigeon landing on the ground? When the pigeon lands on the ground, it spreads the wings. It almost touches the ground as it lands on the surface. When the pigeon spreads the wings, it almost touches the ground. So it lowers the wings to that extent that it is close to the ground, almost ready to touch the soil as it lands, which is a metaphor in Arabic language meaning modesty and tawadhu. When you go and meet your parents, whenever you show up before your parents, you have to be modest. Never show a pride, or never show that you are big before your parents. It's against the law of Quran. وَقْفِزْ لَهُمَا جِرَاحَ الظِّلَّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Lower the wing of humiliation from mercy. Have modesty towards them. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, said in one of his hadiths that whosoever looks towards his parents with love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking to some of his ashab, he said, whosoever looks towards his parents with love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the sawab, the reward of one hajj to him. And the person who was there that Sahabi, that companion of Imam Reza alayhi salam, he said that, Yabna Rasulullah, what if I look 70 times towards my parents, will Allah give me the sawab of 70 Hajj? Let's suppose. And Imam Reza alayhi salam said, Allah is Akbar, Allah is greater than the fact that he is not able to give you. He is greater than that. He can give more than that. What do you think Allah is here? In other words, if you think that Allah cannot give the sawab of 70 hajj, he is not a miser. He has no deficiency of rewards. He can give as much as you deserve and more than what you deserve. Allah is akbar than that. He is greater than that, not to give it to you the sawab of that. One look towards the face of your parents with love, not with hatred, not with the feeling of tiredness, frustration. One look with love towards the parents has a sawab of Hajj. Salawat. What a beautiful set of ahkam we find in Islam. Don't raise your voice over the voice of your parents. Don't raise your hand over the hands of your parents. Don't express kibr and takabbur and highness before your parents. If you are bringing something for them, if you are bringing food for them, if you are bringing tea for them, don't raise your hand so much which they would find hard to reach. It's against the adab of Islam. And we find so much emphasis on this matter that a young man came to see the Prophet and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, I would like to go for jihad with your permission. To do jihad for the sake of Allah. And Prophet said that if you do the jihad and you die, you get the rizq from Allah, the other, of course, from Allah. And if you come back alive from the jihad, you will be just as if you are born from your mother's womb. That means you came back, when you return back from the jihad, you are just like you are returning back from all of your sins, leaving your sins behind. Just as the first day of your life when you are born, all the sins are forgiven. The person returns back from the jihad. But when the Prophet was done, he said this statement, he said the sentence, he said, Ya Rasulullah, but the problem is that I have my parents at home. And they are so much familiar, acquainted with me, they have uns with me, and my parents want me to stay with them. They have uns with them. Prophet said, when he heard this statement, Prophet said that stay with them. I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I swear to Allah who has my life in his control, that your ins with your parents for one day and night is better than 1 year of jihad for the sake of Allah. If you have acquaintance with your mother, if you serve them, if you help them, you stay with them, be familiar with them, it will have the reward of 1 year of jihad for the sake of Allah. Just acquaintance and uns for one day and night. So much sawab. These are our values that we have in Islam. You can never find these values anywhere else. And it's a matter of pride for us to have these values. And I have the excerpt from the Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya for you, where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says that it's a very surprising statements. Sometimes a person is shocked to find how much stress our imams are laying on this subject. It's really surprising because there are lots of people who take it very lightly, not seriously. Imam Sajjad al-Islam says about the huquq of the parents that Allahumma ja'alni ahabuhuma haybata sultan al-asif wa abarruhuma birr al-umm al-ra'uf. What a beautiful statement. Oh my Lord, make me fear, Imam Sajjad says, make me fear from my parents haybata sultan al-asuf, the way somebody fears from a tyrant ruler. Asuf means zalim in Arabic. Sultan means the ruler. The way somebody fears from a zalim and cruel and tyrant ruler, he can do anything. Everybody fears, except those who are pious. Because those who fear from Allah, fear from nothing else. You can only fear from one thing. If you fear from Allah, you fear nothing else. But if you don't fear Allah, you are scared from everything else. Because we find the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Saying that man khafa min Allah akhafa Allahu minhu kulla shay. Whosoever fears Allah, Allah makes everything else afraid from him. Everything else is afraid from him. Man khafa min Allah akhafa Allahu minhu kulla shay. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَخَفْ مِنَ اللَّهِ خَافَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And whosoever doesn't fear Allah, he is afraid from everything, especially the humans. Those people who don't have taqwa, who don't have piety, it's very simple, they are afraid of everything. And especially the fellow humans. Those people who don't have taqwa, I have lots of examples about that. I don't want to take time. But I have lots of examples about those people who are not God-fearing. If you talk to them, that you will, people would say this and this and this about you. They are so much scared from the people. And they are scared from everything else. But those who are afraid from Allah fear none. So, we find that Imam Sajjad al-Islam says that Allahumma ja'alni ahabuhuma haybata sultan al-asuf. Oh my Lord, make me such that I fear my parents the way somebody fears from a tyrant ruler. I don't dare to violate their command. I don't dare to quit nice behavior towards them. Always am obedient and nice towards my parents because I'm afraid from them. وَأَبَرَّهُمَا بِرَّ الْأُمِّ الرَّؤُوفِ. And I do good behavior towards them just like a loving mother behaves towards her son, her child. You see how the loving mother behaves, how much love and affection a mother has towards her child? Similarly, I should have good behavior like a loving mother has towards her child. And he says that I astakthira birrahuma bi wa in qalla. Make me such that I consider their good behavior, their less good behavior towards me to be more whatever good acts they have done towards me throughout the years they raised me and they trained me at home, all the good acts that they performed, if those good behavior, that good behavior was less, make me such that I consider their less behavior to be more. Although it was less, they were supposed to do more, but make me to take their less behavior in the place of more. وَأَسْتَقِلَّ بِرِّبْهِنَا وَإِنْ كَثُرَ, and make me such that I consider my lot of good behavior towards them, I consider my lot of behavior, nice behavior to be less in magnitude, although it was lot, but make me such that I consider my behavior to be less, my good deeds towards them to be less, although it were more. Where can you find such statements? أَسْتَكْثِرَ بِرَّهُمَا بِي وَإِنْ قَلَّ وَأَسْتَقِلَّ بِرِّبُهُمَا وَإِنْ كَثِرَ. And the scholars of akhlaq, brothers and sisters, say that whatever you want to get in your life, you have to get through the service to your parents. If you want to become something, if you want to be successful in both the worlds, if you want to acquire the sa'adat in Dharain, you have to have good behavior towards your parents, because all those who reached high positions in Islam, all of them had good behavior towards their parents. You know, in Islam, we have, inshallah, in one of my speeches I will, in the future, let you know some of the ahkam, that what are the extent of obedience that we have, technically speaking, towards the parents, how much, and up till where we should obey them. The scholars have even said that according to the teachings of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we understand that even if your father or mother stop you from doing a mustahab, it would become haram on you to perform that mustahab. You are praying the Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, and your mother needs your help, and she asks you not to pray, come here and help me. What is your Islamic duty, talking in the terms of Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence according to the fatwa of all mustahids? There's no difference. If your mother is asking you for help and you want to pray the Namaz al-Shab, which is mustahab in Islam, it is mustahab for all of us to pray, although it's wajib for Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to pray Namaz al-Shab. So, every scholar says that it would be haram for you to pray the Salatul Layl. You name any mustahab thing. Your parents want you to stay with them and help them, you are going to Mashhad for Ziyarat. It would be haram for you to travel to Mashhad or Karbala or Najaf or wherever for mustahab traveling. That's the law of Islam. Mustahab turns into haram if your parents need your help. They ask you to stay with them. Even if you go to Mashhad, Imam Ali alayhi salam is not going to look at you, because this is the shariat of Imam Ali alayhi salam that you are violating. And plus, your safar is the safar of ma'asiyat. You cannot pray the qasr prayers. All your prayers would be tamam, full, because the safar is safar of ma'asiyat, and the safar is haram safar. Plus, you don't have no sawab, and you won't get any attention from Imam Ali either. So don't waste your time, your money, and energies and everything. This is the law of Allah. And the way the parents have duties in their lifetime, Similarly, they have duties in Islam after their death on the neck of the children. That I will mention, inshallah, as well in one of my speeches, some of those duties. But unfortunately, we find in societies lots of people realize their duties after the death of their parents. As long as they are living, we take it so lightly. And when they die, we find that the door of barakat is shut on us. And now we are repenting because the time has passed. But Islam never reaches a dead end. We still have options. But it is better, brothers and sisters, to realize the duties in the lifetime. Because what you can do right now, you may not do tomorrow. Once a person, whatever he started, a businessman, whatever he tried to do in his life, he was always stuck. Whatever deal he wanted to make in his business, he never ended up with any benefit. And he was very worried about why the situation is such. And he went to see one of the greatest Urafa, Arif scholars in Qum. And that scholar, the Urafa are different people, and they live in different worlds. They are just living here with their souls, with their bodies, I'm sorry, and their souls are attached to somewhere else. And they are divinely helped people. As soon as that Arif had a look on the face of that man, he said, "You know what is your problem? Your problem is that you are ark of your parents, of your mother. And that is why all of your affairs in your life are stuck and shall remain stuck forever until she forgives you. No matter what you do, no matter how much you pray, you go to Karbala, you go to Medina, you go to Kaaba, you go anywhere you try to pray, nothing would help. Nothing would help. Don't waste your time." He said, "Well, I didn't do anything towards my mom." He said, "No." Now this scholar is telling him what he did. Although he met for the first time in his life with this scholar. This is the divine tasarruf of the walayat of the soul of such scholars. When their souls are muheed and they have the ihata that comes out of the purity of the nafs. And he said, "Well, once I know that your wife was bringing food for your mother and you grabbed the food from your wife's hand and said to your mom that I did not bring a servant for you to serve at home. She is my wife, she is not your servant. And you grabbed the food from your wife's hand and said this statement to her. She did not respond back to you, I know. She didn't say a word. That's why you think you are not ark. Because people usually think you become ark when one of your parents or both of them express by their words verbally that now on you are ark. That is not at all necessary Islamically. Inshallah, in the future speeches, I will focus more on the concept of uquq and aq of walidain in Islam, and how a person becomes aq, and what are those possible ways how we can become aq. If you disobey them and they become angry, that's all it needs to become aq. They don't need to express by their words that you are aq now on. No, not at all. If you disobey them and they become angry on you, that's it. That's the meaning of aq. And that Arif said to him that your mother, you are an aq of your mom because you insulted her and you broke her heart by saying that remark. Nothing can help you until she forgives. Nothing. How much stress we find on these things, and then we come up and find that our du'as are not accepted, they are not mustajab. Well, these things are already told by Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. It's there in the teachings. But unfortunately, we don't find time to study Islamic books. There's hundreds of thousands of ahadith from Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. They did not talk to no walls. They were talking to us. They are, these ahadith are for our benefits. They have teachings about everything you may imagine, and things that you may not even imagine in your life are told. Everything that may possibly be of need of the last human on earth till the last day of earth is told in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. Yeah, we may not know it. That's a different story. We know very less. And this respect, the best of the lessons that we learn about the respect of the parents is what we learn from Ahlul Bayt and from their behavior, how they used to respect their parents, how they used to behave towards their parents. We find Sheikh Jafar al-Shustari, rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great scholars, he says in his book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran says, إِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُوا لَتَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything performs the tasbih of Allah, but you don't understand their tasbih. Everything in the universe performs the tasbih of Allah. Everything says Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu Akbar. Everything in the universe says the tasbih, but you don't understand. And then he moves forward and says that everything in the universe cries on the ghum of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Everything in the universe. The only thing is that buka o kulli shay'in bihasabihi. The buka and girya and cry of everything is in accordance with that thing. Everything cries on Imam Hussain alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, we find that the sky was red. The sky turned red. This is the cry of the sky over Imam Hussain alayhi salam. There were red winds blowing. That was the cry of the wind. And Ibn Abbas says, I was in Medina on the day of Ashura, and every stone that I turned, I found there was blood underneath the stone. That is the cry of the earth over Imam Hussain. And Sheikh Jafar says that buka'u kulli shay'in bihasabihi. Everything has his own way of crying over Hussain ibn Ali. Every single thing in the universe cries over Hussain. Everywhere you go, every country and every corner of the planet you travel, you find there are followers who are crying over Imam Hussein alayhi salam and recalling his sacrifices and crying and doing buka over Imam Hussein. Hazrat Zainab says that in the final moment of my father's departure, I came close to him and one of his hands was in the hand of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. The other hand was in the hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Amir al-Mu'mineen said, he said to Hazrat Zainab, he said that Zainab, you will find, as she was crying before Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he saw Hazrat Zainab crying, he said, Zainab, you have lot of buka, a lot of cry, that you have to cry a lot from Karbala and onwards. And Zainab, I find that you would be a captive, and you have been made captive, and traveling from Karbala to Kufa, and from Kufa to Sham, Azillah Khashayim, and I find that you are humiliated, and you are insulted everywhere, and you would be crying a lot. And that was for sabran sabra, but Zainab, always do sabr and have patience. This is the message of Amir al-Mu'mineen to Hazrat Zainab. And we find that when Imam Hussein was leaving Medina and he went to see different graves, he went to see the grave of the Holy Prophet, he went there and did his wada from the Prophet. Likewise, he went to the grave of Imam Hassan and did wada from the grave of his brother. But the riwayat says, as Imam Hussein went to him, the grave of his mother, Hazrat Zahra, he was not walking towards the grave like he was walking towards the grave of Prophet and to the grave of Imam Hussain. Instead, Imam Hussain was kind of running towards the grave of his mom. And you know how much love Imam had towards his mom. He expressed what the Ummah has done and that now Imam is leaving his hometown. This is the love of Imam Hussain. Once the riwayat says, we find in the history, Imam Hussain said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to his father, that Baba, I want to see my mom. I want to go and see my mom. Imam Ali took him to the grave of his mom. And Imam Hussain started saying things to his mom. Imam Ali could not stand it. And he said, oh my son, you are burning my heart by these statements of yours. I cannot stand it. And Imam brought Imam Hussain back. This is the situation we find that in the situation that Imam Sadiq Garawi says that once there was a majlis in the house of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and as the maddah came in the house of Imam Sadiq, he asked a curtain to be drawn in his home so that the ladies can also listen to that to the majlis and nisaib of Imam Hussein. And all of a sudden I found that Imam Sadiq stood up from the middle of the majlis, and he went close to the door and he spread his aba and he was standing there. Well, I wondered why Imam Sadiq stood up in the middle of the majlis. And after the majlis was finished, I asked to the Imam, Bala, why were you standing in the middle of the majlis? And Imam said, you don't know that my mother, the Fatima al-Zahra, arrived in this majlis of Hussein, and I was standing for the respect of my mom. It was Hazrat Zahra. We know that Hazrat Zahra arrives in the majlis of her son.
الله على القوم الظالمين سيرحم الذين ظلموا أي من قبل ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها وإلها باتم الإسلام كسر بلند فرما باتم الكفر نفاق كسر نبو فرما انقضاء اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما. تمام علماء ربانیین، تمام مراجع کرام، بالخصوص رہبر اسلام کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ. تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما. تمام اسیران اسلام کو جلد سے حد رہا فرما. تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. ما الہ، ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھائے جب تک تو ہم سے راضی نہ ہو رہے. رب زمانہ کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ہم سب کو ان کے انصار